What you're listening to right now is one man at one piano. He goes by the name Hauschka, but he's not just a pianist. He's more like a mad piano scientist. And what he does is he takes various objects like ping pong balls and bottle caps, and he puts them directly onto the strings or the mallets of the piano to change the way they sound. This is a piece called Mount Hood. It's from Hauschka's new album, Foreign Landscapes. But you're hearing him play it here in our performance studio. And resting on the strings of NPR's grand piano are some bottle caps, there's a plastic necklace, a bell, some marbles. It looks a little like a 99-cent only store in there. Hauschka's real name is Volker Bertelmann. He's from Dusseldorf in Germany. Volker Bertelmann, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Your technique is called prepared piano.
Yes.
We are here in NPR's performance studio. You are sitting at our grand piano. Can you describe what is inside? Because, I mean, there's just like, I don't want to say junkyard. Cause
yes. it's like that.
what do you have inside there?
Well, when we start from left, from the bass notes, there is felt wedges that are used by piano tuners. And they, if you take, for example, like the F note without the wedges, without the wedge, then it sounds like a normal piano note. If I put the wedge in.
So when once you get the wedge in, it like dulls the sound.
It's like a pizzicato cello sound in a way.
It really is.
Then I have a children's drum with like these metal things in there. And I use that a lot of times when I need percussion. So if I put that in, it's like... You hear that? So that's like a drum that is actually
it's like a snare drum,
drum sounds. Yeah. Then I'm using a lot of bottle caps. And this one is actually on the E string, you know, and you can hear this is rattling. If I take this one out, this is also
a chopstick.
This is just the E string with a bottle cap. And if you put a chopstick on top, then it gets suddenly a drum sound.
You have 40 different instruments inside this piano.
Yes, absolutely. I think, you know, the thing is that the capacity of a piano, I would say with a normal piano player, is only used 10%, like the brain of a human being.
Well, you would think that's what you would do with it, right? I mean, here you have a piano, and it can make beautiful sound, and, you know, you play the Goldberg variations or something, and great.
Yeah. But you can actually use all, because it's a string instrument and it's a percussion instrument at the same time, and you hardly have any instrument that can actually
That's
work.
Amazing. I mean, you say it's a string instrument and a percussion instrument, but of course, most of us wouldn't think of a piano that way.
No, absolutely not.
I'm looking at, you have a lot of ping pong balls on the strings of the piano.
Yeah.
What do ping pong balls add? I mean, what kind of sound do they produce that gives you the sound that you're looking for?
It's for me like watching through a class that is a little bit foggy, you find it much more interesting than it would be like a clear picture. And when I play, the ping pong balls make waves. So optically, you don't need any light show or something like that because the ping pong balls jump to the music.
The ping pong balls are leaping
almost
out of the piano. And I should mention that our colleagues at NPR Digital have filmed this, so you can see that at our website, npr.org. You can see the performance and watch those balls just leaping up.
And what is funny is sometimes they shoot out of the piano into the audience, and the audience just like, you know, what's going on here? Or they are bouncing on the stage, and suddenly this noise that was made on the other side of the stage is actually suddenly a part of the composition, which is wonderful because suddenly, like John Cage was saying, that like every noise or every sound is actually music.
It's interesting you mentioned John Cage because obviously you're not the first one to sort of experiment with a piano like this. He's the most famously associated with the prepared piano.
Yeah.
Did you study what he did?
No. No, I was in a hip-hop band in Germany.
Really?
Because
if I saw you walking down the street and someone said, do you think he's an experimental pianist or a rapper, I would say an experimental pianist.
Yes. I was actually, my whole socialization music-wise was actually pop music, rock music. I had long hair, I stage dived. I did a lot of like physical stuff.
So you're not a classically trained pianist?
No, well, I actually learned in a public music school for 10 years piano.
Mm. Now, you have been obviously performing your music and, yeah. and with your sort of found objects. And I should tell you, Volker, that we have brought our own found objects for you. I have a bag here. Hold on.
Yeah.
Let me just dump this out here.
Oh, that's...
All right, let's see what we got. All right. Volker, you have not seen any of this, but we're going to ask you to prepare the piano with these objects and to tell us how they affect the sound. So we have some plastic-coated paper clips. I'll give you that.
Yes.
We have two boxes of Tic Tacs.
Yes.
A seashell necklace.
Yeah, that's great.
And let me give you this. This is my personal favorite, and I think this will come in handy. This is a nose hair trimmer.
Let's see.
Not mine, by the way.
No, but I'm just... Okay.
All right. So you have got some.
Should we do it individually so that we can find
however you're going to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the interesting thing about material is that they look sometimes that they could do like an amazing sound, but sometimes they do nothing. And that's actually something that I try to find out.
Like a Tic Tac box.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I think the Tic Tac box will work because it has already an own percussive sound.
Yeah.
And I think we will trigger that while I'm. But this, for example, these, what are these
paper
called?
Clips. They're like legal document clamps.
Yeah, if I'm using those clamps, I think the best way to use them is in here, because then, like this is before and this is after. So the tone is muted. So we have this short stuff.
Right.
Then I took a Tic Tac box on top of that. Tic Tac.
Who knew?
Yeah. It's actually a whole percussion set. This one.
These are the seashell necklace.
Let's do that on the bass notes because there's hardly no preparation.
Can we hear it without the seashell?
That's clear.
All right, there's just one thing left, which is the nose and ear hair trimmer.
I have the impression that you mightn't use that only in your nose.
So you're trying to figure out how to use that. And that may not work, right?
No.
All right. Now it sounds like a dentist's tool. Oh.
No, I think that...
No, it's not going to work. All right.
No, and actually it occupies my hands, you know. I have to just put it together, so...
Well, you know what? I'm sure there's somebody in the building who will make good use of that ear and nose hair.
Yeah.
So, you know what? In fact, we can give it to you, and you can save that.
Yeah, maybe for my older age. You
know? All right, so you've got now... So we've got the paper clips.
Yeah.
We have the Tic Tacs and seashells.
Yes.
And can you...
Should I perform something
with
that?
Can you perform something with that?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Incredible. That's Volker Bertelmann, who performs as Hauschka with an improvised performance, and that was made using paperclip clamps, Tic Tac boxes, and a necklace of seashells. His new record is called Foreign Landscapes. If you'd like to see Hauschka in action, we have full songs and videos at our website, nprmusic.org. Volker Bertelmann, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And for Saturday, that's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Guy Raz. You can hear the best of this program at our new podcast, Weekends on All Things Considered. Subscribe or listen at npr.org/weekendATC. We'll be back tomorrow with the winner of round 5 of our 3-minute fiction contest. Until then, thanks for listening and have a great night.